And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and marks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Good evening. Welcome to our first longest night service. Last night was the winter solstice, the date on the calendar when we experience the fewest hours of daylight and the longest nighttime of the year. For a lot of pagan societies, there's a lot of superstition that comes around the winter solstice, and it's long been associated with death and with evil. And in many of those societies and cultures, they will go to great lengths to try to placate evil and bring back the return of the sun. Obviously, that's not why we're here tonight. We have gathered here tonight to recognize that for some, or for many, the lights of Christmas may seem a bit dim. The colors are little more than shades of gray. The song that was just sung for us, Brian Duncan sang it so well, will be just explained a little bit more by Pastor Scott a few minutes from now. But it expresses that idea that sometimes Christmas can be a difficult and hard time. Christmas is often a time of happy family gatherings. It is sometimes also a painful reminder of dysfunctional families. For many, this is a time of celebrating a wonderful birth. But for others, it's a sad time of separation from lost loved ones. While some families spend thousands of dollars on sparkling decorations and elaborate gifts, others barely have enough money to put a meal on the table, and their children have little hope of even receiving a single gift. For most of us, the days leading up to and following Christmas are some of the most, difficult days of the year. And it should not be surprising. We spend the days leading up to Christmas involved in the hectic pace of shopping, parties, and travel. We spend money we don't have on gifts that are increasingly disposable, and the debt outlasts the joy that that giving or receiving represent. We eat too much, we exercise too little, and it should come as no surprise that the days following Christmas are often described as the post-holiday hangover, or like Elvis, many people experience a blue, blue Christmas. The church fails at her mission if we fail to recognize that reality. When the church gets caught up in the hype of the holidays, we in fact perpetuate the pressure on people to wear masks. Don't admit that it's hard. Don't admit that you're sad. To deny or hide our pain, to fear our frustrations. But if the church is going to be a place of honesty and integrity and reality, then we need to be able to recognize the pain, acknowledge the losses, and comfort those who are struggling with them. I believe that's exactly what Jesus would do. In Isaiah 53:3, we read that the Messiah was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we read of the great struggle of his soul. He was often described as being moved with compassion or grieving at the harshness of the hearts of the people around him. We even read of him shedding tears at the funeral of a dear friend, Lazarus. Jesus recognized, experienced, and brought comfort to the grief and struggles in this world. And we, as his disciples, as ambassadors of Christ, are called to do the same. Tonight, we are going to begin our service by lighting 4 candles. These candles are meant to represent the reality of the pain that some of us feel. There are certainly many forms of pain, but these 4 represent some of the most common: the loss of family or friends, the loss of health, the loss of security or safety, the loss of peace. And as these candles are lit, we're going to hear a song entitled "God Weeps Too."
For the man who never learned to read or write, he worked 2 jobs instead of going to school. I know it hurt you as a child, but please remember all the while that God weeps too. And this is for the widow who now must sleep alone, when the memory of a kiss will have to do. Every night when she lay down, you can almost hear the sound when God weeps too. And God weeps too, God weeps too. Though we question him for all that we go through, still it helps me believe. And my pain, it does relieve when I think that God weeps too. God weeps too. And forever, survivor of the wickedness of man, whether you're a black man or a Jew, some people kill in Jesus' name, he is not the one to blame, 'cause even God weeps too. And God weeps too. About it, but God weeps too. And I never really thought about it, not that much about it, but God weeps too.
One of the great things about our scriptures is that they do not ignore nor deny the struggles of life. It doesn't paint a picture that is overly unrealistic and promises that everything will always be smooth and wonderful. We're going to have some readings tonight, spend a fair amount of time just looking into the Word of God, where we should look when we feel that times have gotten tough and that we are seeking God's help. The first reading is going to come from the book of Isaiah. Carol's going to come and read for us.
Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Earlier we heard the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And I'd like to share the story of that song with you tonight. You've maybe heard the name Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, a very famous poet and writer. He was filled with sorrow after the tragic death of his wife in a fire in 1861. In addition to that, the United States had fallen into the Civil War that same year, which added another level of gloom when Christmas time came around. That first Christmas after his wife's death, Longfellow wrote, "How inexpressibly sad are all holidays." A year after the incident, he wrote, "I can make no record of these days. Better leave them wrapped in silence. Perhaps someday God will give me peace." Longfellow's journal entry for December 25th, 1862 reads, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but there is no more for me." Almost a year later, Longfellow received word that his oldest son, Charles, a lieutenant in the Army of the Potomac, had been severely wounded, with a bullet passing under his shoulder blades and taking off one of the spinal processes. The Christmas of 1863 was silent in Longfellow's journal. He wrote nothing at all, seemingly denying its existence. Then on Christmas Day of 1864, he wrote the words of a poem entitled Christmas Bells. The re-election of Abraham Lincoln, the possible end of the terrible war, may have been the occasion for the poem. This poem speaks very poignantly to the pain and the darkness that had enveloped his soul for more than 3 years, but it ends with a recognition of God's sovereignty. Longfellow's Christmas bells loudly proclaim in the final stanzas, God is not dead. Even more, the bells announce, nor doth he sleep. God's truth, God's power, God's justice are affirmed when Longfellow wrote, the wrong shall fail, the right prevail. The message that the living God is a God of peace is proclaimed in the final words of the carol, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge tonight that we live in a world that is filled with pain. We all experience the wages of sin in one form or another. Through the loss of those who are close to us, watching our loved ones suffer, seeing our dreams dashed, and feeling that there is no hope. As we listen to the news, it's easy to come to the conclusion there is no peace on earth. Everything seems to be violence and war and hatred, death, destruction, disease. And if we are honest, we have all come to those times when we wonder, God, where are you? Are you there? Do you care? Are you being unfair? We're often like the disciples in the boat that's being rocked in the storm. And we come to you and say, don't you care if we drown? There are times when it feels that you are a million miles away. And then when we come to church and we celebrate the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of Christmas, and we sing the cheery carols, and we see the bright lights, and we wonder, what's wrong with us? Why am I not feeling the Christmas joy? The truth is, you are very much acquainted with sorrow. It breaks your heart to see the hatred, the violence, the destruction, and the death. We know from your word that when we weep, you weep with us. But we also know that you are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. You are ultimately good. And in your sovereignty, you can take even the most painful, the most pitiful of circumstances in our lives, and you can bring them into good. I don't pretend to understand that. I can't explain it. But with all my heart, I do believe it. And so this evening, we put away the masks. We stop trying to convince everybody that everything's just fine when it's not. Because we know that you know better. You see behind the facade. You know our hearts better than we know our own hearts. And you see the sorrow. You see the pain. You see the doubt. You see the fear. We acknowledge that we are human. We acknowledge that we hurt. And I pray that tonight, as we are honest with you and honest with one another, that we will find a measure of your peace. That we will find our hope renewed. That we can experience something of your joy. And that we can sense your love wrapping your arms around us, holding us close. Because we know that often you do not take us out of the storms of our lives, you take us through. And I pray that we might sense your presence as you take us through the darkest nights, the longest nights, the nights when we don't feel what we think we should feel, especially this time of year. So I pray that you administer to each of us tonight, that we might sense your spirit working within us, that we may be reassured that you know how we feel and you're feeling it with us. But we also know the end of the story. The darkest, longest night does not last forever. But it always ends with the light of the sun. And it's in the name of the Son of God who came to earth on that first Christmas to deal with the sin and the death and all that it brought with it. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, it's in His name that we pray. Amen. I'd like to share another song with you. This one is by the group Third Day, and it is called Cry Out to Jesus. Thank you.
Everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time. You feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains, keeping you back from your life. You believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. There is
At this time, we would like to turn to another passage of Scripture, Psalm 121.
Good evening. Psalm 121, the Lord is our protector, a song of ascents. I lift my eyes toward the mountains, where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever.
This time we would like you to join us in singing one of the Christmas carols. We're going to be singing, O Come, Emmanuel. We will have the words up here. Number 245 in the blue hymnal. That song addresses our Lord as Emmanuel, a name that was given all the way back in the time of the prophet Isaiah. 700 years before Jesus was born, he had prophesied that Emmanuel will come. And that name, Emmanuel, means God with us. That is the story of Christmas. On that first Christmas, God came to be with us. That second person of the Godhead, God the Son, took on human form, was born as a human being, so that he could experience what we experience. He knows what physical pain feels like. He knows what rejection feels like. He knows the pain of the loss of somebody close. He knows because he became one of us, and he feels our pain. But he did not only come for that reason. He also came to be a sacrifice. And I would invite you to take the communion cup that was given out as you were coming in this evening. It might be tricky if you've never dealt with it before. The clear plastic film comes up so that you can get the bread. On Christmas, we celebrate the first day of Jesus' life on earth. At communion, we celebrate his last night on earth. And on that last night, as he was gathered with his disciples, we're told that he took bread and he broke it. He gave that bread to his disciples and he said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Let us partake together." After that supper had completed, Jesus took a cup. And after he had given thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you, in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to earth, becoming one of us, experiencing life as we experience it. We also thank you for going to the cross on our behalf, paying a debt you did not owe, but we did, taking upon yourself all of the consequences of our sin so that we might have life. We are grateful tonight for the pain and the suffering that you bore, that we should have. We also thank you that in those times of pain and suffering now, you are still Emmanuel. You are still God with us, never to leave, never to forsake. We thank you for the reality that Christmas represents. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Our next scripture reading turns to the answer to our darkness and our difficulties as Ori comes and reads to us from John chapter 1. Ori?
Good evening. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to be a witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amid the candles that were lit earlier, acknowledging the reality of our pain, we now light a candle to represent that light that came into the world that shines in the darkness, which darkness cannot overcome. Jesus brings light. He brings hope. He brings peace to a dark, desperate, and conflicted world. Would you please join us in singing the hymn? Thank you, Linda. Oh, Holy Night. It's hymn 285 in the blue hymnals, if you would like, or it'll also be on the screen up here. Twice today I've sung that song about falling on your knees, and it takes on a whole new meaning for me this weekend. I fell on some ice yesterday and ripped up my right knee, so I fall on my knees gladly before the Lord, but maybe not tonight. It's really stiff. It occurs to me that you may be here thinking, man, this is the weirdest Christmas service I have ever gone to. And you know what? It may be that what we've been talking about here, you don't get, because you're not one of them. You know, your heart is filled with joy. You're loving the Christmas lights. The grandkids are there, the children are there, whatever, and it's just a great time for you. And that, man, if that's you, praise God. We're glad. But it might be also that you're here and you get this all too well. And maybe nobody has given you permission to be sad, to feel the reality of the pain that maybe exists in your life right now because of some loss, some trial, some difficulty, a health issue, whatever it might be. And we've done this because we want you to know that we're here for you. Christ, more importantly, is here for you. He loves you. He understands the trials that you're going through, and he knows that sometimes there is pain even at the happiest time of year. You see, our faith does not deny the pain and the reality of our difficulties. Our faith, however, summons us to trust God through those times of pain and suffering and trial. And so that's what we want to proclaim tonight. The presence of Christ in the manger of Bethlehem brought hope to all mankind. A weary world rejoices, we just sang. Sometimes we feel more like the weary world than the rejoicing world, and that's okay. His presence in that Bethlehem manger brought hope to all mankind, and his presence within our hearts can bring peace to each of us, even in the midst of our challenges and our trials and our difficulties. Jesus told his disciples on that day before he went to the cross, "In this world, you will have trouble. But don't be discouraged, because I'm overcoming this world." He said, "Peace I give to you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." As we close our service tonight, we're going to hear the last part of that Wadsworth hymn, "I Heard the Bells of Christmas Day," that we heard earlier, with a little bit of a twist to it by Brian Duncan, who sang it earlier.
Before we close in prayer, I want to first thank all of you for coming tonight. I know this is an unusual kind of Christmas service. And I hope it reached you wherever you are. I also want to invite you after our service concludes. We do have some cookies and goodies in the fellowship hall. If you would like to come and join us for a time of fellowship, you are more than welcome to do so. We'd love to spend some time with you. If you would like to speak to one of us individually, maybe have prayer together, we can do that too. So we want to just offer that as we come to the conclusion of our service tonight. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to invite all of you to join me in the Lord's Prayer as we conclude. Would you bow with me? Lord Jesus, the Christ of Christmas, we celebrate your coming to earth some 2,000 years ago. We also honor your presence with us tonight. We acknowledge that you are here among us. And it is our prayer that as we go from this place, we will take with us the light that you brought into the world, that we might shine your light into the darkness in which so many people live. May we be the star that leads others to you. And may you continue to do the work in our own lives as you minister to us at our point of need. And we conclude with the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I would like to welcome you all back. We have a candlelight Christmas service Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Otherwise, I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a good night.